Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Doug Matthews is in studio with us as we go on the road, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, who reminds you, booze it and lose it. Lose your license, your freedom, your life. Doug Matthews, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive. Chad, when Doug walked in studio, you know what I thought of? There's a coach who probably didn't need to be mic'd up as the ESPN broadcast started.
We have to ask him too. No, he was, and 95% of coaches would not want to be mic'd up. Rick Barnes didn't want to be mic'd up in them airing everything he was saying about Teddy Valentine.
You hear about this, Doug?
No.
Last night, the ESPN Tennessee Vanderbilt broadcast opened, and instead of having the broadcast mics on, you couldn't hear the announcers talking. It was all Rick Barnes mic'd up for the first 2 minutes of the game. So it opens with him giving instructions to the team before they go out there. Then he sits down to tell the assistant coach that Teddy Valentine's reffing the game, and he tells the story of Ted Valentine tossing him out of a game at Texas, which we have the audio of. In fact, we'll let you hear it right now.
Yeah, listen to this.
This happened live on ESPN last night.
Well, we had to. We didn't want to. No, we were at Texas. He called a technical foul on Brandon Mouton for no reason. I said, all right, you want to make a mockery out of it? Here we go. The game was over. The game was over.
So that was Rick Barnes telling that story. Then you get 2 minutes of audio of him talking about the game. Luckily, it was Rick Barnes, and he was actually complimenting Vanderbilt over the course. Like, I really like this Neesmith kid, he said at one point when he was right in front of him. But can you imagine if some of the wrong things would have been said, or the wrong coach would have been
mic'd up? You know how that feels, don't you?
Well, yeah. People that have been Googled by enough people out there. I won't. Cotton Bowl 19.
I love that so
1990?
Much.
1990?
The Cotton Bowl of 1990, that's right. My last game at Tennessee, by the way. It didn't have anything to do with that. you know what's interesting? You all have heard me tell stories off air about it. It's some of the things that conversations go on during a ball game, even a big tight ball game, that have nothing to do with football. Majors would come bring up something that was talking about middle of one ball game. We're playing Vanderbilt. I won't get into the whole story. I've told it many, many times. And when I speak that, you know, in the middle of a ball game, talking about a speaking engagement he was going to do in Nashville the next week, and how he didn't want to do it if we were going to get beat. You know, I mean, it's just things that have really, you just say, where in the world did that come from?
Right, yeah.
But, and you know, you got a lot of time in between timeouts.
It's like being in an office.
And some of the other things, I do wish they would do this. Some of the funniest and really just humor stories come from talking with officials during timeouts. And you know, a lot of times you're talking about a lot of fishing or something else, but during a timeout, to have coaches mic'd up and some of the conversations that go on back and forth, and even in ones, all the good officials I know in football, and I've talked to basketball guys, say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they make a mistake, they'll come over and tell you, hey, coach, I blew it. I'm sorry. You know, the smart ones will. Some of them are going to, you know, say they didn't, but. But it's some of the conversations that go on are really humorous. They really are.
You said your last game with UT. Did you know that was your last game?
Yeah.
What's that like? Like, how do you just, like, you know that's the inevitable run of things, or is there a actual conversation before that?
Well, I knew I was leaving, and I had not had a conversation with Coach Majors about it at all. I hadn't really talked to anybody at all about it on the staff because, you know, I think we all go through this. You've heard all coaches say this. The last time you want to make decisions is at the end of season, because you're tired and you're worn out. And this was, had been a very successful season for Tennessee. We ended up 11-1 that year. But I'd made up my mind I was going to leave. And
why?
A lot of different things. I'd been there 10 years. There were just some things that I wasn't real happy with, and I'm sure the head coach wasn't real happy with me about. So it was just in the best for both of us, and it worked out well for both. I left. Larry Lacewell came in. Larry, a tremendous coordinator, guy that I learned a lot from when he was at Oklahoma. And I was able to come over here and start a business and get a little radio gig.
Doug Matthews with us. How was Oklahoma? You're back.
Great.
You joined us last week. Crystal clear, by the way, on the app that you use.
Well, Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy, Lucy Live. $30 app.
I know. It's great.
10 years ago, to be able to do a show, I bought a tie line. Cost me almost $6,000. Now I got an Apple phone, and I put a 30 app.
You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. App.
No. It sounds better.
Yeah, it does.
you had to have a phone line before, but great. So,
and that's what Tony uses on Saturdays, right?
Yes.
It's great.
I've tried to get Charles to do it. I've tried to get Bill Justice to do it. Bill refuses because he's just simply not going to use an app. He really doesn't like to use a cell phone, but he doesn't have any choice.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a little bit older than I am, so I can kind of understand
get that.
Get that
jab.
Tony does, yeah. Tony does, absolutely.
Doug Matthews with us.
And I got it, by the way, Brad Willis. Brad's the guy that found it, so
it's great. Doug, we like getting into the history of just conversation of the SEC with you, and we did that a couple of weeks ago where we went through four or five figures across the Southeastern Conference that truly made a difference in how future coaches or administrators went about the day-to-day aspects of their jobs. Saban was the most recent example that you brought up, and he's yet at it again with the analyst that he continues to add to his crop of analysts at Alabama, and he's done it again with Major Applewhite, who returns.
Well, what I have tried to do, and I enjoyed doing it, is the reason I do it, is to go back and look, and what I tried to do with those five people, and those five people that I picked, somebody else might pick somebody else, starting with General Leland back in the 1920s, all the way up to present-day Coach Saban. You know, there are other outstanding coaches, head coaches and assistant coaches, but the ones that I were looking for, the ones that had the foresight, in some instances, courage, also, and was at the right place that their institution allowed them to do it, to really make a difference in the way the Southeastern Conference in particular, and I would argue all of college football, has played. Now, again, there have been other outstanding coaches, Vince Dooley and you go down the list, Johnny Vaught, but guys that made the difference and had and changed the way it was played. And one of the things we talked about Saban was, and this is where he is so good, and this is where he stays a step or two ahead, you know, lead dogs, people that set the tempo, don't follow the tempo, and it's in this analyst role. And what he effectively does is he finds coaches. Now, if you're a fired coach right now and you're getting a buyout and you want to go kind of, for lack of a better term, rehabilitate yourself, where you want to go? You know, Ghostbusters, right? You want to go down to, you're going to call.
Tuscaloosa.
You're going to call. Because he goes down there, he gets them, they're getting a buyout anyway. He probably pays them another couple hundred thousand, maybe not that much. They're happy as heck to come down there. He probably gives them a place to live, stay, all of that. I don't know exactly what it is. He can do whatever he wants to because there's no rules or no regulations on what you can do with an analyst. So just look, you know, start going. You go back to Kevin Steele. When Kevin got fired as the defense coordinator at Clemson 10 years or so ago, he had a buyout. Coach Saban brought him in, had the very first player personnel director in all of college football. Didn't call it that, but that's what he was, in charge of recruiting. Kevin then eventually, when he had a position, bumped up to coach, back to coaching for him, and now he's the defensive coordinator and getting paid a little over $2 million at Auburn. Steve Sarkisian brought him in after the USC debacle he had out there. Had a problem out there. Came in, same deal, had a buyout, came in. We know he coached the one national championship game, left, went to the Atlanta Falcons. Guess what? He's back now because Saban knew who he was, what he was all about, and vice versa. And now he's doing it with Major Applewhite. Applewhite was on, I believe, his first year back when he came to Alabama. And then left and went to Texas, I believe, mm-hmm. where he was from, and now back in. My point is this. Those are the people who are innovative, who push the envelope, who are looking for ways to do things that nobody else is doing. Those are the people that, now some, hey, maybe 80% of the time they don't work, but for the 20% that does work, they set themselves aside from every other coach. That's why one of the reasons why Nick Saban is in the position that he is in. Now, the other part of it is he is at a great program. He is at a great university who will allow him to do that. Some programs will not allow that to happen. Alabama will.
Want to catch the Zone on the go? Download the iPhone or Android app today. Download it now at 1045thezone.com.
How high is the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat.
The theme of this week right here. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Not of the show, but of the weather, I'm saying. 2 feet high and rising. Oh, Doug Matthews with us. Presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Reminds you, booze it and lose it. Lose your license, your freedom, your life. Doug, that's your kind of music right there, isn't it?
That's right. Johnny Cash. Hey, give me a little Johnny Cash.
What else?
Merle Haggard, for sure.
Okay.
And
Waylon Jennings?
Waylon, yeah, but I'm much, much more of a Hank Jr. guy. And then
really?
Of the new guys, I like Garth Brooks. But a lot of that's because where he's from.
Look at Reed in there smiling. You just mentioned every artist he loves.
Yeah, there's others too.
Reed's
inspiration.
Reed's smiling more than when I was petting his beard.
I know. Look at him.
I've always felt that Doug and I were kind of kindred souls. So now I know. In fact, we are.
I like all genres though. I like a little Barbra Streisand, a little Frank Sinatra. I like a little hip hop. I listen to that stuff.
Wow. Now you're really shocked.
If you hit, you know, the old days where you had on your dial the six different buttons. I got a little bit of everything on there.
Although every dial right now is 104.5, right?
Well, that's right.
Okay,
that's
just
right.
Checking. Just
that's
checking. Right. Hey, I don't want you to speak for Butch Jones, but just say you're in his position and you're back for another year as an analyst. But really, I mean, Saban called him an intern.
Yeah.
Do you think he went into last year thinking he would find a job after 1 year doing that and didn't really get what he was expecting, so he's back for another year? And do you feel like he just settled there instead of taking a job somewhere else?
Well, first off, I think the reason sometimes, you know, words certainly mean things, but there's other times when you use a particular word because of the way you want it to look to the NCAA. So an intern, you know, he is much more than that down there. Butch Jones is, much to maybe some chagrin of some Tennessee fans. He's the highly thought of coach down there. And I think what happened down there, I haven't talked with him about it, but I have talked with someone on that staff who very close to him, who is most people could figure out who that is. I think what happened this year, Butch had a few opportunities. A Maryland job was one of those. I think it was the tight end job. I don't think he wanted to go back as that. He's got an opportunity because of the buyout at the University of Tennessee, again, going back to that, to spend another year down there.
And the details of that, they owed him $8 million, which is paid out monthly through 2021.
Yeah, and the reason they do that is if he takes, well, he's already taken a job. Whatever he makes at Alabama is deducted from that amount for that year. And, of course, it's prorated and all that type of thing. So that's why that's happened now. But I think he's very smart in doing it. If he is learning, and no matter how old you are, I mentioned, like, you know, I'm way past learning time. I still try to learn from watching coaches do things. And there's no better guy to learn from. Nobody in college football, maybe in pro football, Belichick maybe. No better guy to look for. And I think Butch will eventually get probably a pretty decent job out of it.
There's typically a clause in these contracts, and it's something about good faith efforts to find a job. It's either that or you just don't work and you collect the buyout from the school. Tennessee started down the path of trying to get some of the money from Florida. If you remember, Charlton Warren, I think, was the coach. He signed on with Florida and took an insanely low amount of money from Florida to be their DB coach because he knew Tennessee was going to pay the rest. It was kind of a screw job to Tennessee. This seems like the same thing to me, that Butch Jones could be making $350,000 a year to $500,000 on a staff but he elects to be paid, I don't know what he's getting paid, let's say it's $80,000 as an analyst at Alabama. I don't know that Tennessee wants to go down that path, but could they seek some of that money back if they wanted?
I haven't talked to him about it. I think that would be about the last thing on this.
They're just not going to waste their time with it.
Well, and it's also because, you know, the fact of the matter is Tennessee signed that, put it in place. There's been other places that have done the, how would you like to be the guy that hired Charlie Weiss three different places? Notre Dame may still be paying him. and heck, he coached right after Rockne at Notre Dame. So, I don't think, it makes you look bad. Makes you look cheap. I don't think there's any appetite to do anything like that at Tennessee. If there is, I certainly hadn't heard it.
If Tennessee's anything right now, it's not cheap. And nope. We're seeing that with what they're spending in football on this staff. Philip Fulmer's impact on that program and the lack of, for a better phrase, checks and balances right now where he is in charge of that athletic department and that football program, how is that benefiting Tennessee?
Well, first off, there is no better fundraiser for the University of Tennessee, forget about the athletic department, than Philip Fulmer. I've been with him on several different times. He is outstanding at it. There's not many, if any, boosters out there that he cannot get in to see anytime he wants. And he brings a message, and they know he means it because he spent 32 years there. And the hope that Tennessee fans have, but as importantly, the hope that people who have the money to back that program is that they realize that this is the chance to get Tennessee back up, not only in football, but back up in athletics. And I think everybody that realizes that, that's serious about it, you know, everybody likes to gripe. I like to gripe myself. But this is the opportunity. There's a window right now to do it. For a lot of different reasons, a lot of money out there right now. People make a lot of money. People willing to give it. Give me something to show me where it's going to go, and that's what Philip is outstanding at. And actually, that's when I talked about, you know, what's on his priorities. That's his priority right now, is getting that program and those programs back up to competitiveness. And the only way you do it is by hiring good coaches. If you got to overspend, you overspend. You know, I was kind of laughing last night about the Manny Machado deal, you know, 10 years and 30 million or 300 million, 30 million a year. Well, in college football now, you got to spend money. He realizes it. He was one of those coaches in that era that just as it was getting into paying the big bucks. And if you got to do it, you got to spend it. If you're not, you're not going to get there.
There are programs that simply can't spend it. The higher ups don't allow it to happen. So you don't see all the coaches go out and hire these number of analysts, because otherwise I think all the head coaches would love to do that. They'd love to have the open checkbook. Tennessee's in a position right now where the window's open to do just that. Do you think we see Pruitt and Fulmer go down that path that we've seen at Alabama that we were discussing last segment?
It won't go down the path as many, because one of the things Jeremy Pruitt said when he came in there and got with Coach Fulmer on it, was the fact, how many do you need? Well, he thought, again, I'm speaking a little bit for him, but he thought that maybe Alabama had too many, you know. So, but he, let me just put it this way. He has all he wants, all that he wants right now, and that he's asked for, he's got. And, you know, that's the whole key, is exactly what you said, John. Administration, college administration, not just out of Oklahoma. One of the reasons they have stayed so successful, the governor and president of the University, Borum, was there for all of those years. He had the same, Joe Castiglione was the athletic director, still is, all the years that Stoops was there. So you have administrations that's going to back you and is not going to be listening to all the carping going on out there, that's going to back you, that's going to handle the university, the faculty. This is what we're going to do. This is who we are. If you don't like it, there's other jobs. I'll help you get one of them. So it's more the administration. That's when coaches talk about administration. And I'm not talking about athletic administration. You have to have a university that is backing you. And that's what some of the great ones have. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but the great athletic programs have universities that understand that the importance of that to the university. Alabama has that. other places have it. There's a lot of them around now. But if you don't have that, you don't have a chance, because those are guys that call all the shots.
Titans fans, mark your calendars for Thursday, April 18th. John McClain presents In the Evening with Amy Adams Strunk. Join Team Hutton 104.5 for an exclusive night with the controlling owner of your Tennessee Titans 1 week before the NFL draft. Thursday, April 18th at the Bell Tower on 4th Avenue. All proceeds benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. John McClain presents An Evening with Amy Adams Strunk. Tickets are available now at 1045thezone.com.
And the thunder rolls. And the thunder rolls.
The thunder rolls.
And it's an all-request hour for Doug Matthews. Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
Oklahoma State boy.
Little rival.
We call this the royal treatment.
Yeah. Right. Well, he was a track guy. So, yeah.
Oh, it didn't count.
Some things that Oklahoma State, basketball, baseball.
Well, track guy at Tennessee in your era was a football player, right?
We had more than one. We had about eight of them that were really good.
Willie Gault was pretty good at both.
Starting, I won't go into all the names that I think talk about. 1982, I think it is. Might be in 81. Our three wide receivers were all champions in track in the NCAA. In hurdles, 200. Mike Miller was 200 meter champion. Willie was the high hurdle champion. Willie, I don't know if he went to the Olympics or not. Sam Grady, he wasn't on that team. Sam Grady won silver in the 100 meters and won the Olympics. So don't do that anymore. They need to get that crank back up again.
Harbaugh continues to take his team on a big trip after spring practice. You like this, don't you?
I do. And again, if when this first happened, I promise you, 99 every other school said he can't do that. There's no way you can take your team. That's against all rules. Well, show me the rule. Well, it wasn't there. So again, here's a guy, another trailblazer. What do they do? What is everybody talking about? You know, they talk more about Harbaugh than they do anybody else. Harbaugh hadn't come close to winning a Big Ten championship yet. Well, he might have come close. But, you know, why? Because of things like that. And I think it's great. It's all funded. It's an interesting story. It's all funded by one or two guys who put all the money in. What has it got to cost to take a whole football team to Italy?
I don't know.
And while they were over there, they had a chance to do a lot of different things. I think it's wonderful. I really do.
Headed to South Africa this year, went to France last year, and he has plans to potentially go to anywhere from Cuba to Spain to Greece next year. He's gone ahead and floated that out there.
Let's not forget James Franklin went to Tanzania.
That's
he was
right.
quick to
That's
tell
right.
us all about
That's
that.
That's right. Well, the money is one thing, and we've talked about this in terms of Tennessee, Alabama, and the programs really spending a lot of money. The fan investment side of this also and how that kind of ties in. I'm going to ask you about this because now Jeremy Pruitt has mentioned this publicly twice that I know of. In his press conference, he talked about filling up Nick Neyland for the spring game. I just happened to notice he did 94 feet, similar to taking a lap with Paul Kaharski, with Rick Barnes. He does a weekly interview with different people on campus, and he did it with Jeremy Pruitt. And Jeremy Pruitt said, we need that place packed for the spring game. Is that important? If you're Tennessee right now and you're looking around, because it's difficult to say, coming off a 5-7 season, we need 100,000 people to show up for a scrimmage. So I get that that's a big commitment from the fans, but Jeremy Pruitt knows what it takes to win at the highest levels also. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say this. First off, I don't think he'll fill the place.
No.
I don't think after the 1998 National Championship they filled it. Now, I could be wrong on that. But here's the other part of that is, I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to get the fan base going and things that are important. But on a spring game, what you better find out is, you better give me a reason to come. What's the reason you want me to come up there? If interaction with the players and coaches and all that are great, give me something to come see other than doing a few drills and things like that. And here's one of the things too. It's a long trip for the great majority of Tennessee fans. The ones in Knox County and Blount County and Anderson County, fine. But you know, if you're coming from Jackson, Tennessee, and this is one thing I learned when I was recruiting up there. I had all of West to see from Cookeville West. You get out about around Milan and Brownsville and Humboldt and Union City. That's 99% Tennessee country out there. But those folks are 6-8 hours away.
Yeah.
And, you know,
a long way from Knoxville when you're recruiting.
I don't understand what he's trying to do. I really do. I hope he can get it done. I love his enthusiasm, but it's going to be difficult. I will be one UT fan who will not be at the spring game.
Doug, what do the numbers tell you about the undergrad transfer and the overall transfer portal?
Here's what it's something that is somewhat under the radar, and let's make sure we understand. Grad transfers are one thing. I think almost everybody is in favor of grad transfer. If you go to a school and you stay there long enough to graduate, if you still have eligibility left, you should be able to go without question to any program in America. Well, that's where we are right now. Russell Wilson was the most famous of the first of that group who left North Carolina State, went to Wisconsin, had a couple of years left. We know what happened there. But this undergrad thing that some are kind of pushing right now is a dangerous, dangerous proposition, because what is essentially where they're getting to now, there were NCAA statistics from the 2018, start of the 2018 season up until a month ago. There were 29 waiver requests for undergrad transfers. All right, 29 of them. 19 of those were approved. When this was set up, it was meant to be a rare thing where they got the approval. That's almost 65%. Well, I don't have my math here. Figure that out real quick, Chad. You're a math guy. Anyway. So what we're getting closer to is now that they're just automatically doing it. We saw what happened with the field junks that went to Ohio State. The one to watch, though, here's the one to watch, is this Tate Martell. Tate Martell was a quarterback at Ohio State. He has already transferred. He is at the University of Miami right now with Manny Diaz. He is ineligible at the present time, but he has appealed. He has asked for a waiver from the NCAA. If that gets approved, because he really has no reason to leave other than he saw he wasn't going to play. If that gets approved, that means that we are almost to the point where anybody can leave any program and be eligible immediately. Now, that sounds really good until you really sit down and look at what the unintended consequences of that could be. I'm all for the grad transfer. I'm for extenuating circumstances, health of somebody or something like that. But just to leave because you're not playing, I'm not for that. And I'll go back to this, and I know this has been argued and people on way on the other side of this. When you sign that national letter, when you sign that, and that's the one that binds you, it in big, bold letters says you are signing with the University of. It does not say you are signing with head coach Doug Matthews or assistant coach Jonathan Hutton. It says you're signing with, that's the contract that you sign. Now, I know you can get into, well, the coach didn't sign that contract. The assistant coach didn't. You know, they didn't sign a contract that states that. You are stating that when you go there. So either do away with that or stick with the contract or be able to go and know that, hey, I got to sit out a year. There's been a bunch of people that do it. I got to sit out a year. That's the payment that I have to pay to be able to leave and be able to play somewhere else.
Doug Matthews with us, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. We always enjoy it, Coach. What do you have coming up this weekend?
I'm going to get into several different things this weekend. One, I'm going to talk about some of the things I kind of use this show to try out things, you know.
Float some ideas,
people
right?
People say, hey, I didn't like that.
Well, okay, so what? Shopping. We do it ourselves.
Well, it's like the JV game before the varsity game.
I say, well, you know, that wasn't my idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Kaharsky wanted
Paul
me to
came
do
up
that.
With that.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I'm going to be hitting that pretty heavy, and of course, we'll get into to Bill with Bill Justice about basketball heating up right now, and boy, there's some pretty good teams in this league. We couldn't have said that 5 years ago. There was a pretty good team in this league 5 years ago. Now there's some pretty good teams in this league.
Doug Matthews joins us every Wednesday. Always a great hour or so chatting with him. You can catch him this weekend. Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, 9 to 11 every Saturday morning. And then the best hour-long discussion on Tennessee athletics. It happens Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock, Big Orange Sunday. Doug, thank you as always.
You bet. Good to see y'all.